Our scripture reading tonight, as well as the text of our sermon, is Daniel chapter 4. The prophecy of Daniel chapter 4. What we find here recorded in Daniel 4 is a letter which Nebuchadnezzar writes to all people, nations, and languages of his kingdom. Daniel 4, hear the word inspired by God. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head and my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow or shade under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and or even an holy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's. And let a beast's heart be given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. Forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, and thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in our text, more than before, Nebuchadnezzar sounds like he is a believer, that is one who has been converted to the faith of Daniel, to the faith of his three friends, and to our faith in Jehovah God. Unique to our passage is that chapter 4 is even written as a letter from Nebuchadnezzar, so that Nebuchadnezzar himself speaks what is written in the book of Scripture, explaining what great things God had done to humble him. So convincing is Nebuchadnezzar's letter and confession that many commentators conclude that finally here in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is converted. I heartily disagree. I do not believe that the Word of God this evening is telling us that Nebuchadnezzar has finally turned. That before, in the previous chapters, his confession was fake, but now it has become genuine. In fact, I believe that the Word of God this evening is revealing to us something very different. The message of God's Word tonight is this, generally speaking, that unbelievers may often look and sound like believers. That they may take God's name upon their lips in an external confession, even seemingly humble, but it is a vain hypocrisy. There are many nominal Christians, men and women like Nebuchadnezzar in this world, very good actors, and we must be mindful of that. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 speaks of Satan as an angel of light, that is, one who makes himself look like an angel of light, and his children and his false teachers very deceptive in sounding and looking like they are believers, but in reality they are not. That is one of Satan's ploys in the last days in the anti-Christian kingdom that is being established in the world today. I urge you, people of God, to be discerning. Children, young people, to be discerning about your friendships, even as you are discerning about Nebuchadnezzar here, one of the best actors, especially in that he is a type, remember, of the Antichrist. The Reformers called the Antichrist the ape of Christ. That is one who will seek to do all he can to make himself look like the humble Christ, exactly in order to deceive the nations and even many who profess to be Christians. King Nebuchadnezzar represents, remember, the Antichrist. He is a representative of that wicked one 2 Thessalonians 2 speaks of, his very tactics meant to deceive as he shows himself as though he is the Christ, as though he is holy, as though he is godly, as though he is professing faith, as though he is humble. All with a plan to gather the nations under him. Beloved, this is not merely a debate about Nebuchadnezzar's salvation. This is a warning about the future Antichrist that we are discerning about what the Scriptures say true faith is, that we're discerning about what people profess in this world, and that we're very wary then of the counterfeit of the actor. Not rashly judging, of course. Not rashly judging the salvation of others, but knowing that Scripture gives clear direction of who a true Christian is and who is not. And Scripture warns about those in sheep's clothing, those like Nebuchadnezzar who will look like the tree of life, but will be like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. who will look like the Lamb, but will be the dragon, who will look like the beautiful Christ, but His identity as exposed in our text is the beast. Nebuchadnezzar the beast, that's the theme of this sermon based on Daniel 4. First, his anti-Christian pride. Second, his beastly humiliation. And finally, the king's peace. Displayed before us in Daniel 4 is the pride of man, the pride of Antichrist, and the pride of natural man in the kingdom of Antichrist. In spite of repeated warnings, Nebuchadnezzar continues impenitently in pride. A quick review on that which is taking place and warnings to Nebuchadnezzar regarding his pride. Daniel, remember, means God is my judge. And in the earlier chapters, God has been, through the book of Daniel, warning Nebuchadnezzar of judgment that is coming. First, remember, was the dream of the image in chapter 2. God sent Nebuchadnezzar that fearful image. An image with a head and shoulders of gold, which represented Nebuchadnezzar. And after him, there was other parts of that image, which represented after him other kingdoms that would rise up instead of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. But of course, in that dream, the judgment was coming through the stone, the rock, who was Christ, to destroy not only every other kingdom, but Nebuchadnezzar himself. Any kingdom that dared to defy God and glorify himself. Nebuchadnezzar, in hearing that, did not repent of his pride, but instead, remember, pushed out of his mind the message of Christ and of judgment, and built his own image purely of gold to defy God and make himself glorious. That we saw last week. The second warning we also saw last week of Nebuchadnezzar came at the fiery furnace. You remember, children, how he ordered his mighty men to throw Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah into that fiery furnace. And there he saw the judgment of God. God, as a consuming fire, came and brought that judgment upon his mightiest of men while sparing the lives of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The message of God to Nebuchadnezzar was, I will burn the mighty and the proud who dare to attack my saints, my people. And still Nebuchadnezzar did not repent, though he had an external show of it. And now in chapter 4, God sends a third message of judgment through the dream, warning him of being cut down like that mighty tree if he did not repent of his pride. Again, Nebuchadnezzar, when he received that dream, did not know the exact meaning of it, but he did understand the general meaning, that it was a dream of judgment against him. Again, he did not understand the particular meaning of it, and so he asked his wise men, who proved again that they were without knowledge, even though Nebuchadnezzar this time gave them the dream itself. They could not tell him the meaning. And again, he sought Daniel's help. And Daniel, whose name means God is my judge, interpreted the dream to reveal judgment coming against Nebuchadnezzar again. The dream is of a tree. Some important characteristics of that tree. First, the tree was in the center of the earth, verse 10. Second, the tree was great. It reached unto heaven, verse 11. Reminding us of the Tower of Babel, that the people 1,000 years before this sought to build unto heaven, as well as reminding us of the image of the previous chapter that Nebuchadnezzar sought to build unto heaven. Third, this tree was spread over the whole earth, verse 11 again. The tree that represented dominion over the entire earth. In verse 12, fourth, the tree provided food and shade for all the creatures of the earth. A tree that somehow seemed benevolent, providing for all the nations. But then an angel from heaven, called a watcher in our text, came as a messenger from God down to pronounce judgment. He's called a watcher, for he is like a watchman. Remember, children, the watchmen on the walls of Zion who are always watching for enemies. And as soldiers, they would watch for enemies in order to destroy those enemies, judge those enemies for the good, the protection of God's people. The watchman came. A messenger from God who was watching the enemies, including Nebuchadnezzar, the enemies of his church, in order to bring judgment against them for the good and the protection of his people. This watchman from heaven, an angel of God, comes and says in verse 14, "Hew down the tree, cut off its branches, shake off its leaves, scatter its fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowl from its branches." In other words, take away all its glory that he had, all of its dominion, all of its greatness, all of its great benevolent looks. Destroy it. Cut it down. Yet leave the stump. Leave the stump in the roots of the earth with a band of iron and brass in the tender field, or the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his portion be with the beasts and the grass of the earth. And let his heart, most importantly, be changed from man's. That a beast's heart might be given to him. And let seven times or seven periods pass over him. And though the wise men of Babylon could not interpret that dream, Daniel, it seems, knew the meaning of it immediately. Though he could not bring himself to explain the meaning immediately, but was dumb for about 1 hour due to the difficulty of its meaning. Not difficult to understand, but difficult to pronounce because of such shame and such grossness which would be suffered when that judgment came upon Nebuchadnezzar. But finally, Daniel spoke up, verse 22, "It is thou. It is thou, Nebuchadnezzar." Similar to what Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. You are the tree, great at the center of the universe, reaching unto heaven, with dominion over all, seemingly benevolent to all creatures. But you will be cut down." You will be made a beast. Break off thy sins. Verse 27. "Repent, Nebuchadnezzar," Daniel is saying, "and bring forth fruit that is works of righteousness that show your repentance. Turn from your pride, Nebuchadnezzar." But even with this third warning, Nebuchadnezzar would not repent. He did not heed the call. He continued in his idolatry, not only of Bel, and not only of Nebo, but of himself. He was like that tree in the center of the earth, in that he viewed himself to be God, in the center of this earth, entitled to all things, strong to do anything he wanted to do. Historical records indicate that Nebuchadnezzar was especially known for his architectural prowess. Having defeated the nations, he fortified the walls of Babylon. Imagine that, children. He built thick walls, such thick walls, even a double-walled city in Babylon, that chariots were said to actually ride upon the top of those walls, 40 feet high in the air. Not only did he have such walls, but he had three palaces, beautiful, beautiful structures, with all sorts of precious stones for himself and his wives. Within his city of Babylon, he had one of the seven wonders of the ancient world called the Hanging Gardens. And of course, in the midst of all this architecture stood that one piece of architecture that we read about and studied last week. That tower, that image, mirroring Babel, high in the air, reaching unto heaven to symbolize his pride. He did not knock it down. It remained standing. Now picture Nebuchadnezzar perched on top of one of his palaces, on top of the world, with a view of views. He gazes upon all of his infrastructure, all his ornate buildings, his walls, his gardens, his roads, which extend outward. And he's thinking about his kingdom going farther than his eye can see. And he says in verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon, that kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" And at the pinnacle of his pride, he was cut down. God spoke from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And Nebuchadnezzar is humiliated. Before we talk about that humiliation, let's apply it. What we have displayed before us in Daniel 4 is the pride of Antichrist. It is the pride of Lucifer himself. That is who Nebuchadnezzar represents. Not a converted child of God, but a type of Antichrist, the embodiment of Satan. Remember the word of God concerning him in a different dream, chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar, the golden head, is not going to be converted, but crushed. There's another passage that I ask you to turn to now in Isaiah 14. You may study this more at length, but the person that Isaiah describes in Isaiah 14 is someone that we know well as Lucifer. And as you read with me a few verses on Isaiah 14, notice how in Isaiah 14, Nebuchadnezzar, who has built his image into heaven and is pictured here in this vision as a tree which has extended high up into the heavens, is very much like what Isaiah describes in Isaiah 14, verse 12 through 14. We read, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend upon the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Almost identical words which we find in Daniel 4. People of God, who is that Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 14? And you would not be wrong to say that's Satan. This is describing Satan when he fell, when he sought to exalt himself above the Most High God. That's true. But if you look more closely at Isaiah 14, you will notice that it cannot be merely or only a description of Satan. Isaiah is prophesying of the one who would be the embodiment of Satan. And he speaks precisely in verse 15 of a man. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? Who is this man, we must ask? Verse 22 of Isaiah 14 tells us the answer. The Lord says, I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon. Babylon, the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. Isaiah is describing, yes, the pride of Lucifer, Satan, but he's also describing the pride of Antichrist, who is the embodiment of Satan, which Nebuchadnezzar reveals or is a type of this evening in chapter 4. We can even say this, that Daniel 4 is a fulfillment of Isaiah 14. Of the one who exalts himself above all that is called God, but will be cut down. But we would be wrong to end the application there only to warn you of this pride of Antichrist, which is not only revealed in chapter 4, but will be revealed in the Antichrist soon to come. The application must also be to you and me personally. Who is proud? It's not only Nebuchadnezzar and Antichrist, but by nature, you and I have an old man, remember, who has the pride of Lucifer, which would exalt itself above God. We are prone to deify ourselves, to seek our own glory. To be proud, like Nebuchadnezzar here is in chapter 4, proud of his own humility. To boast to the nations of how he has been humbled. Like the tree of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we too often think of ourselves to be the center of the universe. That all our gifts and talents and successes, athletic prowess and spiritual abilities even, we have of ourselves. We feel strong to support our own life, as we heard this morning. We would like to claim that we have obtained salvation in some sense of ourselves by our works. Pride is why we get frustrated with God when things don't go our way. In pride, we have a silent, competitive spirit, always seeking to one-up the other, even though we don't talk about it to others. In pride, we insist on being self-sufficient and independent, unwilling to receive in humility the care of others for us. In pride, we disrespect authority. We are unteachable. We think we know it all. We don't listen. We're degrading, we're sarcastic, we rejoice and mock those who fall. We dare not stand for what is right lest we damage our reputation. In pride, we don't pray enough. In pride, we can claim to believe in total depravity. But then when we're confronted with sins from that total depravity, we minimize and deny and excuse. Beloved, recognize your pride. You need to hear that again. For you will be unable to discern the pride of Antichrist when he comes if you do not recognize what pride is, first of all, within your own soul. And repent. Unlike Nebuchadnezzar, of your own pride. The familiar proverb is correct. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. God brought Nebuchadnezzar low. He brought him to fall, to a beastly humiliation, as he deserved. Notice that the very dream which Nebuchadnezzar dreamt has an interpretation within itself. Verse 16 is the interpretation within itself, within the dream, and explains what is meant that the tree would be cut down. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. That was Nebuchadnezzar's punishment. Not only did Nebuchadnezzar lose his position, Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind. He lost his human rationality or reason. He became trapped in the beast's frame of mind, thinking and feeling and willing. Just as that stump, verse 15, was bound with iron and brass, so Nebuchadnezzar was brought into the bondage of the mind of a beast for 7 periods, probably 7 years. But no matter how long it was, it's sickening to even think about. Verse 33 has those details. He ate grass. Imagine someone, a human being, but now thinking he is a cow, and he's on his all fours eating grass, chewing it like he is chewing cud. His body, we read, was wet with dew. Over those 7 years, the clothing that he may have worn must have become rags, and he must have gone on all fours naked, and he stunk without hygiene, and his body dripped with sweat and with dew. And as enough time went by, his hair grew, we read, to be long like eagle's feathers, and his nails became as long as the claws of a bird. And we say, that's awful, it's gross. What a judgment, what a punishment. And I say unto you, beloved, tonight, that it was not only God's judgment against Nebuchadnezzar, but proud mankind today in this anti-Christian world is becoming beast-like. Not as sudden, perhaps, and abrupt as Nebuchadnezzar's, but it's happening steadily. We sang in Psalm 49, verse 20, man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perisheth or dies. Proud man is so blind to this, but it's happening before our very eyes. The self-centered man focused on pleasing himself and his pride is like the beast in his man cave or in his den, eating, drinking, and being merry, wasting his life away until he dies. Women supposedly civilized and trendy strut around like animals today with hardly any clothing on, calling what is beastly beauty. Men and women who overuse technology are losing their ability to think, to even reason logically and deeply, but they shrug their shoulders like deer in headlights, addicted to their devices. The most intelligent of mankind, as leaders in our colleges, boast about how we have come from monkeys and apes, beasts, when in reality, we're not evolving in from apes, but devolving into such. Athletes are praised. He's a beast. What an animal. And everyone wants to be like a wolverine and a tiger and the beasts on the field or the court. In our sexual revolution, men and women mate like beasts, doing whatever feels right to their animal instinct and engage in things worse than beasts. Sexually, as well as killing their babies in order to embrace their pets. For man's pride and self-idolatry, God already judges mankind, giving them over, as Romans 1 says, unto vile affections to become beast-like in this world. And we must recognize it, that we repent of following the beastly trends of this world and are different from from the Antichrist and those like him. The very purpose that Nebuchadnezzar and this anti-Christian world has as they become beasts is that soon more and more they follow the beast of all beasts, the Antichrist himself. What God is doing in chapter 4 is not showing Nebuchadnezzar's conversion, but is revealing to us the true nature of Nebuchadnezzar. His judgment or punishment fits his crime. His judgment is to show us who read Daniel 4 who Nebuchadnezzar represents. If you turn to Revelation 13, you will find Revelation 13 describe the Antichrist as the beast. In Revelation 13, verse 6, we read, very similar thing, a description of Nebuchadnezzar. Revelation 13, verse 6, about the beast that comes out of the sea. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given him to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. The same of Nebuchadnezzar. Revelation 13, verse 11, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He wants to show himself to be a lamb. But he spake as a dragon. Revelation 13, verse 5, think of Nebuchadnezzar in the fiery furnace. As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And Daniel chapter 7, which we will get to, Lord willing, confirms that Nebuchadnezzar is to be represented by a beast who has eagle's feathers. Beware of that beast. Know that our God and our Savior Jesus Christ is sovereign. He is even over this beast, even over his fake humility and acting. But remember, you must be warned of how God in Daniel 4:17 says that he will set up over the kingdom of men, last phrase, the basest of men, the worst of men, the lowest of men, the beastly to rule. Watch and pray as the Antichrist, who Nebuchadnezzar prefigures, will rise. Do not fear him, but watch for him. Do not fear, I say, because when he rises, not only will he be under the sovereign control of our King, but then you know your redemption draweth nigh, and the judge returns. Don't forget the stone of chapter 2 that is coming to crush him once and for all. The axe is laid to the tree to chop it down and to burn it, root and all, very soon. Soon you will hear Revelation 18, verse 2, Babylon the Great is fallen. In Revelation 19, 20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And these both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Know that when Antichrist comes, the judgment of the true Christ for our salvation is near. Nebuchadnezzar is not repentant. There is no evidence of it. Look through his confession in the opening verses and in the closing verses. Yes, he blesses the Most High with his lips, but you will hear nothing like this. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. There's no brokenness. He's still proud. Verse 36. Notice the first person pronouns. At the same time, my reason return unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness return unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Nebuchadnezzar's whole point in this letter to the nations is to reassure them that he is still the emperor of the world. And finally, look at verse 8. Nebuchadnezzar writes this letter after his humiliation. So we find evidence of repentance and conversion. It should be shown in the story that he tells. But in verse 8, he says, "At the last, Daniel came before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of what? My God." Nebuchadnezzar still confesses Bel as his God. "In whom is the spirit of the holy gods." Nebuchadnezzar confesses that Daniel interprets his dream by the power, not of Jehovah God, but by the gods. Nebuchadnezzar is a hypocrite. His orthodox statements in the context cannot be used to justify the erroneous one that he spoke. King Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of the Antichrist. And the last words of deception that we should notice in conclusion is his declaration or benediction of peace. That's verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. It's as though Nebuchadnezzar raises his hand. Peace be multiplied unto you. That statement should be obvious to you as a statement of the Antichrist for a show of peace, while he could not give true peace. Imagine yourself as a Jewish believer. Nebuchadnezzar has recently conquered the nations, especially Judah. Cruelly slaughtered the people, forced them into slavery, and forced tribute on the rest. He was the most cruel of the kings. He dug out the eyes of Zedekiah. He hated the people of God. He just recently sought to burn them in his fiery furnace. Imagine the people of God hearing this letter read to them, "Peace be multiplied unto you." And they would have said, "It's no peace until that Nebuchadnezzar dies, until this cruel king and his kingdom is no more. Then there will be peace." That's what the people of God say. When rumors came their way that Nebuchadnezzar had gone mad, they were probably hopeful that this was the end of his reign. But now Nebuchadnezzar informs them, "I'm back on the throne." And their spirits must have been crushed. There's no peace. What he proclaimed was a counterfeit peace. What he proclaimed was an outward peace. As long as you unite with the nations, as long as you join with the religions of the world and bow with His image, then there's peace, an outward kind. But if the child of God confesses Jehovah alone is his God, and he refuses to bow before the image, then there is no peace. Jeremiah 6 verse 8 predicted it. They will say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace and unity, when there is no real unity and peace founded upon the truth. And now in contrast, there is only one who can give peace. True peace. Nebuchadnezzar could not give peace with his record of humiliation and exaltation. But there is one who can give true peace with his humiliation and exaltation. And that is the true Christ. Who Antichrist, Christ to mimic. The true Christ. I remind you of this true Christ, first of all, by reminding you of your sin. You are proud. You have the pride of Antichrist within your sinful nature. You deserve the same destruction. You are to be like that tree cut down. It is thou. Thou art the man with your pride. You ought to be like the beast that dies. And along with the beast, you ought to burn in hell forever. But this is our salvation and this is our peace, that the King of heaven, greater than Nebuchadnezzar, God the Son, has humbled himself. Lower than Nebuchadnezzar could even be lowered. The degree of Nebuchadnezzar's suffering for his pride was great, but far greater was the humiliation of the Son of God, which he endured when he humbled himself and became a man. King Nebuchadnezzar was forced to suffer what he deserved, but King Jesus came and voluntarily humiliated himself to suffer what he deserved not. The humbling of Nebuchadnezzar was fake, but the humility of Jesus Christ was genuine and imputed to us, his people. Nebuchadnezzar suffered for his great pride, but Jesus suffered not for his pride, but for us in his humility. Nebuchadnezzar was cut down, but Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living, cursed for us, his people. And then he was exalted. From humiliation, he was exalted higher than Nebuchadnezzar could ever be exalted. He rose and ascended to the right hand of God as King of kings and Lord of lords, whose dominion is over all the earth, who will rule over all things and does continue to rule over all things, including the Antichrist himself. Only this King can say, and he says this to you who repent and believe, peace be multiplied unto you. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, not as King Nebuchadnezzar and any Antichrist can give, I give unto you. Because of my humiliation and because of my exaltation, there is peace between you and God, though you deserve to be at war with Him. There is peace through forgiveness because of my shed blood. There is peace because of my humiliation. And there is peace because now you know that I, as the sovereign Lord, governs all things, including the very persecutions of Antichrist himself, for your good, for your benefit, and will preserve you all the way unto my end, my kingdom of perfect peace soon to come. I exhort you, beloved, to repent and believe in this King of Kings and Lord of Lords that you trust in Him, His kingship, which is invisible, His peace, which is not of this earth. You trust in Him and His humility, not your own. His righteousness and His sovereign rule. And one day you will see that in the name of King Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Nebuchadnezzar's knees even will be forced to bow. Not in conversion, but in deeper humiliation than what we find in this text. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, our Father. Amen. Let's pray. O God, our Savior, Thou hast given us true peace in King Jesus. Work in us a true peace and knowing that there is peace between Thee and us. Give unto us a peace that passeth understanding and knowing that even the deceptions and persecutions of Antichrist are governed by Thy hand. And when Thou dost exalt the basis of men, even upon this earth, give courage. Help us to heed the warnings and yet not fear, as we trust in Christ, who has made us more than conquerors. May His judgments of Nebuchadnezzar be assurance to us that He is our judge, soon to return to bring judgment for our salvation. In His name we pray. Amen.